College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
The big boy press conference, Joe Biden addressing the nation today, coming up at 5:30 this afternoon. If I had to guess, I would assume that Zeoli will carry that live. So as you always are listening, be on the lookout for that. Instead of watching on the television, I would say keep it locked to 1210 WPHT. Nick, Dawn, and Sean, as we continue, 9 o'clock hour here on Kale & Company, 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Morning mystery movie clip in less than 20 minutes, and then we will get to what's on the cut sheet part due. Also, what happened today in music history and what's on tap for the Dawn Show. But, you know, Sean, I think the Trump administration was listening to us 2 days ago because we did a brief segment on how we would assess our personal confidence level in each of the seven swing states. And you and I were pretty much on the same page, slight difference here or there. And the Trump administration, multiple advisors telling Axios that this is the way they view the swing states from hardest to easiest. If you missed the show on Tuesday, the way I ranked them, I did them from easiest to hardest. And I had North Carolina as the easiest, Arizona at number 6, Nevada at number 5, Georgia at number 4, Wisconsin at number 3, Pennsylvania 2nd, and Michigan 1st. I believe you had slightly different in that order.
Yeah, I had from easiest to most difficult. North Carolina was my easiest one. I believe Georgia was number 2. What was it? Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Pennsylvania was number was Pennsylvania? No. I'm trying to remember now what I said. I totally forgot.
Maybe you had Wisconsin as the hardest?
I think I had Wisconsin as the hardest because of the drop boxes. So I want to say I went North Carolina, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, right? I said Arizona. I know I said Arizona after Nevada, harder than Nevada because of Maricopa County. So yep. We do North Carolina, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin.
Okay. So yeah. Let's go through this, what the Trump campaign views from most difficult to easiest. I'll start at the bottom, though, because I'm going to do this for a reason, because it's about our listening area. So the Trump advisors say Arizona is the easiest, followed by Nevada, followed by North Carolina, followed by Georgia at number 4, Michigan 3rd, Wisconsin 2nd, and they believe Pennsylvania to be their hardest swing state to win. Which is interesting because they won Pennsylvania in 2016, defeating Hillary, but Joe Biden carried Pennsylvania by about 180,000 votes, if I recall correctly, in 2020. So, you know, Dawn, we talk about this a lot, and I've said that I think this election could very well come down to Pennsylvania, could very well come down to perhaps Bucks County. Northampton County, up in the Lehigh Valley, my neck of the woods where I grew up, is a bellwether county, very important. So the Trump campaign is viewing Pennsylvania to be the most difficult, and Cook Political says only the top 3 are still toss-ups. Cook Political believes Trump has Georgia, North Carolina, Nevada, and Arizona, I don't want to say locked up or in the bag, but strongly either showing or leaning Trump. And basically, PA, Wisconsin,
Michigan. Wait, not
Michigan
just leaning Trump, because this is down ticket. This is McCormick.
Oh, yes, this is it, right? Red up and down.
So okay.
Red.
I think it's significant. This just came out. I mean, this just came out yesterday, that Cook report, that these were listed as toss-ups, and then they put, well, they're leaning Republican, which is fantastic news.
Yes, absolutely is. Which then would leave, if that's true, if Trump takes Georgia, Carolina, Nevada, Arizona, he only needs one of those 3 Rust Belt states, PA, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And if you look at this story from the sources that were given to Axios, here's what Axios is reporting from the Trump campaign. They say the following. Quote, the Trump campaign sees a clearer map emerging, with these swing states being hardest to easiest to win in this order. PA, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, Carolina, Nevada, Arizona. You could flip the first two, but the campaign puts Pennsylvania first because it's the biggest swing state and because Biden desperately needs it. They go on to say, and this is very interesting, and this plays right into your wheelhouse, Sean Farish, as a J.D. Vance guy. Job number one for the VP nominee, besides raising money, will be to park in Pennsylvania to try to deny Biden the biggest of his blue state, his blue wall states. The Rust Belt appeal of Senator J.D. Vance, Republican from Ohio, helped rocket him to one of the finalist slots to be Trump's running mate. So let me ask you, Sean, because I know you like J.D. Vance a lot. Is J.D. Vance capable of swinging Pennsylvania in Donald Trump's favor?
I think he is, and I think he is for a number of reasons. Number one, the guy's a great communicator. He's young. He's got a lot of energy. And I think he's been rock solid, absolutely rock solid in the Senate, right? So from a track record standpoint, we're in a good spot with J.D. Vance. But I'm going to tell you something, and maybe he's going to lean into this. Maybe he won't. If I was close to him, I would advise him maybe to try this. Focus group it with some smaller groups of people first. J.D. Vance, and a lot of people use this as a knock, and I understand that people kind of may be apprehensive about it. J.D. Vance used to despise Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
There are texts about him, you know, comparing him to Hitler, the whole nine mm-hmm. yards. And you're like, well, how is that a good thing? Well, the good thing is that it looks like, based off of his actions and his words, but specifically his actions, that he realized he was wrong about that. And has come around to a new way of thinking, which is I respect somebody who changes their way of thinking. They look, I wasn't the biggest fan of Donald Trump when he first declared he was running in 2016, but I came around. J.D. Vance seems to have come around, and I think he can use that. You know, he can grab a bunch of people and you could say, listen, you know, what do you have reservations about with regards to supporting Donald Trump, right? Why are you apprehensive toward Trump? Why are you reluctant to support Donald Trump? Because if I'm J.D. Vance, I'm going to these people saying, I think I was where you are, right? I was like that once, right? I thought he was, he was Hitler. I thought he was an authoritarian. I thought he was a clown and he didn't have a lot of class. You know, are these some of the issues that you're struggling with? And if those voters turn around and say to J.D. Vance, yeah, you know, I think, you know, he said this, he said that, very fine people, blah, blah, blah. J.D. Vance can say, look, I used to think this way, but here's what I did. And here's how I came around to, you know, my new position and use that as a way to relate to these voters and say, look, I wouldn't be on the ticket. I wouldn't be his vice president if I didn't think he was the right man to run the country for the next 4 years and lean into that. And specifically with Vance and Pennsylvania, you know, and I hear the list that you're talking about that the Trump campaign was going through, and you know, it seems like I'm making an assumption, I don't know, but the states that they're factoring in being the most difficult to flip are the ones with the largest metropolitan city centers: Philly, Detroit, Milwaukee, mm-hmm. right? You know, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania look like they're going to be more difficult flips than, you know, a North Carolina or a Nevada or an Arizona. The fact that they have Arizona as the easiest, I disagree with because of Maricopa, but that's neither here nor there. I think Vance can absolutely move the needle in PA. I think him coupled up with what Scott Pressler is doing out in Bucks County. Now, I think just about 300 votes away from flipping Bucks County, where there will be more Republican registered voters than Democrats, is a huge deal,
yep.
A major story. But I do think Vance can move the needle. And I think that's how. I think he can relate to the voters who are kind of still hesitant about Donald Trump. And Vance can say, listen, I used to believe the same things. Let's talk about it. Let's mm-hmm. talk about it because I'll show you what changed my mind. Maybe it'll change yours. Have a discussion and keep going from there. And 39 years old, lots of energy, charisma, amazing story, veteran. I think he's the right guy for the job.
Now, you mentioned Scott Pressler. Yep. He was at one of these events to launch these new Trump Force 47 offices across our region.
And when's yours coming up?
So mine is tonight. So okay. This is what if you're feeling, if you have questions or you're feeling like you want to get involved, you want to volunteer in some way, be a canvasser, go to door to door, be a poll watcher, and you're especially in the Chester County area, I'll be from 5 to 7 this evening. It's 15 South Church Street. This is Chester County, Westchester. So 15 South Church Street. So there'll be a program. There'll be refreshments. And these events are happening across the region. Montgomery County just launched their office. And that was, what, 2 weeks ago with Kathy Barnett. So, you know, these are great events and great ways for people who, you know, you can come and learn more and get involved, because you just heard, you know, Sean Farish, Nick Kale saying, hey, by all these polls, Pennsylvania could be the key to the White House, the toughest swing state, as they're saying. And that's why, you know, they really are making an all call,
yep,
saying they need all hands on deck.
Mm-hmm. Axios also reporting, and we met, and Sean, you mentioned, you know, some of the big blue cities in these top three swing states, Philly, Detroit, Pittsburgh, and Milwaukee. The convention obviously coming up next week, Monday in Milwaukee. Axios is saying that Trump wants the platform that he just gave out this past week, the 20 points that we went through, to set the stage for the RNC convention, which will begin Monday in Milwaukee, including superstars and television stars that will be present, including TV star Amber Rose, another plan had 50 Cent, the hip-hop artist, amongst primetime surprises to portray Trump as connected to pop culture. And then apparently there's going to be four different nightly themes, with Make America Wealthy Again one night, Make America Safe Again, a theme for the second night, Make America Strong Again the third night, and Make America Great Once Again the fourth night, because Trump is trying to appeal to the masses. So when you read between the lines and you just play the word association game, he wants to take care of, obviously, the border. That's first and foremost for him in his 20-point plan, and obviously the largest mass deportation operation in history. So we're looking at safety, wealthy, obviously, the economy, get inflation under control, get, you know, energy costs back to where it was, you know, get these grocery prices down, maybe the housing market can correct itself, and then, of course, strong again with law and order and our military presence. So I do think it's kind of a smart move to kind of play off of the whole MAGA concept with different words and different adjectives, and maybe have a different theme each night where we can focus one issue at a time. And I really do think, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a supporter, a voter, maybe a borderline fanboy, but I'm looking forward to the energy of next week. And I think what's going to be very palpable is you are going to see, especially if Biden doesn't get swapped out, if Biden ends up being the guy when the DNC convention comes around in August, just compare and contrast the energy levels of the conventions in the cities in which they will be held. It will be a night and day difference between what we see next week in Milwaukee opposed to 6 weeks from now in August with DNC. I think that will be the first thing people notice when they watch any of the coverage of this.
Yeah, I think the RNC is going to be like a party, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be upbeat. It's going to be a positive. It should be positive messaging. Obviously, you know, you want to hit Biden on the negatives, but I love this. I think Tamar Walker in the YouTube chat is saying, I love the plan to have a different Make America Blank Again each night of the convention. I think that's brilliant because it's going to hit on the important issues, right? And so that's what voters want to hear about, I think, right? They don't want to hear about abortion, you know, not that it's not an important issue. I don't like to ever downplay issues for people because it's not. So everyone has their issues, right? You know, my biggest issue for a long time has been immigration. I didn't like them. People are like, nah, nobody cares. People care. But, you know, it's the pain points. I always go back to when I was doing sales. When did I make my most effective pitches? When I was able to zero in on what a prospective customer didn't like about the current service they were dealing with. So if I was dealing with somebody who had Xfinity Comcast, you know, that Comcast, we call it Comcast, the boxes were big. When I said, hey, DirecTV, we have small boxes the size of a smartphone, it'll reduce the clutter. You know, the women in the family were like, hey, you know, nice. It'll be easier for us to keep clean. Husbands didn't care. But it's all about focusing in on those pain points. What is hurting people the most? Dan Bongino calls them the finger prick issues.
Mm-hmm.
And those are grocery store prices, housing prices, right? The fact that interest rates haven't been cut is, it's absolutely wrecking the housing market. There's no supply. So anything that's on the market right now is getting jacked up. The average price of a home in 2004 was $184,000.
Yep.
It's now over $500,000 20 years later. Crazy. So I like the way they're laying out these themes. I think it's a very good idea. And I think there will be a stark contrast between what we see at the RNC versus the DNC, and the DNC with all the protests and all the calls possibly for Biden to still be stepping down. I think it's going to be a mess.
Yep. I agree. 855-839-1210. Coming up on the other side, we will get to our morning mystery movie clip and then what's on the cut sheet part due, and also a little bit of fun. I'm not sure how many people throughout the years have been a fan of The Simpsons, but some of their most eerie predictions have actually come true. And most recently, just a night ago, a 28-year-old prophecy finally fulfilled. But I've got six other ones that are political in nature or social or cultural that I think this audience will resonate with, that have come true. They might be the smartest people of all time. The Simpsons, go figure. We'll hit on that fun story before we get to the cut sheet part due.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
What a day. What a day.
Already.
Yeah, are you going to get any sleep tonight, by the way?
No.
6 hours of radio, right. Family stuff, Trump 47.
Woo, I'm pumped.
You're going to be like the opposite of Joe Biden. Joe Biden goes 6 hours a day total. You do 6 hours of radio.
That's right.
And then the rest of your stuff.
I know. All the rest of the stuff. On the fields. I can't believe the schools. My son, you know, David, who's, they did football. There's no reprieve. Even during the heat wave, they're out there working hard. I love it. I love it. They're out there on the football field, then on the shot put and discus, jav, All the kids out there. It's a work ethic. You know, You played, I don't know if Sean Farish played football, but Nick Cale did.
I can see Sean being a baseball player. Were you a baseball guy, Sean?
I loved baseball. Center field, anything hitting my zip code, I was, and things in neighboring zip code I was able to get to also. It's great.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah, Donna, you played football, but back in my day, they said water was for cowards when it was heat. You had to be mentally tough. Nowadays, it's, you know, no pads in July. And
Can't even do two-a-days anymore.
And, you know, water every 5 minutes. And these young kids these days, I tell you.
Well, that's
and they're all getting hurt.
I know. Yeah. But you know what?
Tearing ACLs.
Yep.
Because I think it's the fake turf. You know, we have fake news. I think it's the, even the NFL, they're talking about that.
It's the CNN of turf.
Yes.
It's the fake turf.
Exactly. Fake grass.
Fake grass.
Cheap fakes.
Cheap fakes, indeed.
Cheap fake.
Yes.
It's funny.
A couple of fakes. Next thing you know, your ACL goes. Sean Farish, are you a Simpsons fan?
Not really. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I've never watched it regularly, but they have a reputation for predicting things. So I always enjoy these types of stories.
This is very interesting. Yeah, I was never a hardcore Simpsons fan. I would have stretches throughout my childhood where I'd watch it for a couple of weeks, or I'd be more invested in one season versus the other. And then eventually I checked out, I tuned out. Dawn, you, Larry Bear, the boys, Simpsons fans?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I know a lot of people enjoy it on a Sunday night, especially in the fall when the new seasons come out after football's over, The Simpsons, Family Guy, those types of animated sitcoms. So apparently they nailed another prediction, and it came to fruition 28 years later, as this past week it appears that Cypress Hill did a duet with the London Symphony Orchestra. And apparently that was a prediction from The Simpsons years ago. And the Daily Mail wrote a column just giving the bullet point breakdown of all of their predictions that have come true in the past. And there's a bunch of topical stuff that we talk about on this show, on this station, that they've nailed. And I just want to go through the six that I think will resonate with our audience. Number one, they predict, and I didn't know this because I was not a diehard through and through, so some of this might not be a surprise to those listening that are Simpsons fans, but for people like Sean and I that maybe are not hardcore into it, this is a surprise. They predicted that Donald Trump would run for president and become the president of the United States. I mean, that is absurd. I mean, I don't know what episode that was. This was actually see if I can. This was in a 2000 episode. So 16 years later, that prediction came true. They also said that AI robots would take over in season 23. In an episode in 2012, they projected that AI robots would take over the world. We now know that artificial intelligence is massively accelerating at warp speed. They also predicted in a 1995 episode in Lisa's Wedding, I actually remember this episode, but I don't recall this part, that smartwatches would become a thing, saying Lisa apparently predicted that you'd be able to communicate through the device on your wrist. They also predicted the Ebola outbreak back in a 1997 episode, and then in 2014 and 2015, 11,000 people died across the globe from Ebola. They also projected, Sean, hold on to your Maricopa County hat here, faulty voting machines in U.S. elections. And this was from a 2008 episode where Homer attempts to vote for Barack Obama, but the voting machine repeatedly registers him to vote for John McCain.
Whoa.
If only that actually happened.
If only that actually happened. And also, in a 1995 episode, another episode where Lisa gets married, they predicted video calling would become a thing, and now we live in a world with FaceTime and Zoom and virtual meetings and Sherelle Parker losing her mind saying, hey, you other 20% of you bozos, get back to work. No more virtual. So how about that? The Simpsons nailing things that maybe some of us never saw coming or didn't know.
I love it.
Until now.
I guess it was, I don't know, was the episode, it was produced, remember when Trump did a third party run, so I guess that's part of it. That they predicted it at that point, but back in 2000.
Yeah, not bad. Might have to see if they have any predictions on any football games coming up that I could throw a few bucks on. Case Stocker goes cold. All right, 9:30. Let's find out what we have lined up for What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2.
What's on the Cut Sheet
Part 2.
What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2? We got a bunch of stuff. I've got some Biden. I've got a little Trump. One more from the SAVE Act. A couple of crazy videos. But Dawn gave us just about, let's call it 45, 50 minutes ago in her Big Three, the story of a pig, the fat pig, the 300-pound pig, Rosie. Rosie, the curly-haired pig that got loose. Phil Omquist was able to track down a small little excerpt from a newscast. This is clip 37, and Dawn, you described the way the pig looked. We'll hear the newscast, and then Phil, if you could, freeze it, and we'll break down the pig's current makeup, and maybe Sean Farish can compare and contrast that to Chris Christie. Clip 37, Piggy on the Loose.
Well, several Good Samaritans came to the rescue of a runaway pig on the Schuylkill Expressway today. Authorities say Dorothea, a one-year-old pig, hopped over a trailer door and broke out onto I-76 here in King of Prussia this afternoon. A woman who was fostering Dorothea was taking her to the vet at the time. Well, Dorothea ran about a mile down the expressway before some Good Samaritans stopped to help wrangle her. Fortunately, traffic wasn't impacted, although there were probably a few disgruntled drivers.
How about that? The pig ran a mile down the Schuylkill, and then he realized it was way too hot out, and I'm done with doing this nonsense. I'm not going to run anymore. It's too hot for this garbage. Phil, if we could go back and just freeze the picture of the pig. Sean Farish, any resemblance to Chris Christie there?
Well, I would say, you know, you look at the size, you look at the everything that's going on, Chris Christie, but I would say, yeah, probably too small. I don't think it's the right size for the pig. You know, 300 pounds is, as you said, Chris Christie on Ozempic. I would say this looks more like Rosie O'Donnell, maybe Joy Behar, or maybe even Whoopi Goldberg, who was named after the Whoopi cushion because of what she sounds like and how she smells. That much I can tell you.
Ew.
Speaking of Donald Trump, Len, you mentioned Joy Behar there, which is a perfect segue. Let's go to clip 22, boys, because there is a possibility, right? There is a legitimate chance that it could be Donald Trump against Kamala Harris. If Joe steps aside and the Veep is second in command and only she can get the cash and only she can get the delegates and they can't leapfrog her because it's sexist, it's racist, it's the whole shebang, we could have a Trump-Kamala confrontation coming up this fall. Clip 22, Joy Behar goes off on Donald Trump for calling Kamala Harris Laughing Kamala. Clip 22.
What really ticks me off about him, though, is this laughing Kamala remark.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a sexist remark, because a guy I was with over the weekend, a friend of mine, they said Kamala's laugh annoys me. Remember they said that about Hillary's laugh, that she was cackling. And men, you know, they don't like a funny woman. They're afraid if you laugh or you make a joke that maybe you'll do that when they're in bed with you. It's like this fear. This is fear of women's laughing and comedy. Yes.
That's very good, yes. Psychotherapy.
And what was that reference to the Washington Monument? Well, it looks very much like a penis to me.
You're on fire today.
Just saying.
So, Sean, now making fun of a female's laugh or a cackle, which all of society does, men, women, mm-hmm. Democrats, Republicans, there's not a person on planet Earth that doesn't think Kamala has a laughing issue. Now that is sexist, that is racist, and men don't like funny women. That's your girl, Joy Behar.
Yeah. You know, I think Joy Behar, let's do pot calling the kettle black, because Joy Behar has easily one of the most annoying voices and laughs that I think I've ever heard. I mean, yeah. Nails on a chalkboard for about 15 straight out. I would rather listen to an audio track of Nails on a Chalkboard on repeat, full blast in my ears on a 16-hour flight from New York to New Zealand before I watched an hour of The View and listen to Joy Behar. Like, I there is nobody with a voice. I'll listen to Kamala cackle before I listen to that much time, spend that much time listening to Joy Behar.
I'd rather hear Fran Drescher than Joy Behar. And she's painful to listen to.
Yeah, I think Joy Behar is upset because she knows that, you know, by people like us making fun of a woman's cackle, that it actually damages Joy's brand, I think.
Oh, that makes sense.
Dawn, yeah. As a female, your response to the accusation that men only like females that laugh in the bedroom?
I would think men, first of all, don't want a woman you're with to laugh.
No, we want the hawk. We want the hawk to her.
Right? But I mean, what is she laughing at? So I also think that Trump was wise. That's why he was wise to say it was a laugh, L-A-F-F. He said it was a laugh. He never said cackle. He never said all the stuff that we have said,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But he just said all that laugh because she laughs at inappropriate moments.
Yes.
That's the whole point. It's not just her laugh.
Right.
It's that she's at a serious event, and even people who go to the event think, what is her deal? What is she on?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're talking about some serious issues, and she's up there, looking around with that look on her face.
Yeah, she's not funny. Hillary's not funny. And both of their laughs are painful. Some people have an annoying, uncomfortable, bizarre laugh. Other people have a funny laugh that when you see them laugh, it makes you laugh.
Yes.
Everybody has a different laugh. Kamala's is very cringe. But you see what they're doing, though? They're already setting the template and setting up the whole campaign. If it becomes Kamala, they are going to make this about every single thing under the sun that has nothing to do with policy. It'll be about race. It'll be about sex. It'll be about gender ideology. And anybody in the next, let's just say, I don't know, in 2 weeks, Joe's replaced. From that date through November 5th, all you're going to hear is the identity politics smorgasbord in defense of Kamala Harris. And anybody under the sun that questions Kamala Harris, says they're not going to vote for her, whether they're a Republican, a MAGA Republican, a Trump supporter, a moderate, a conservative, right-wing, libertarian, anybody that's anti-Kamala is a man who can't live with the fact that there could be a female president.
Mm-hmm.
They're setting the stage for it.
Yeah.
Get ready for it.
Has nothing to do with sexism. They just want to... They want to have something to say, I guess, because they think about it. They cannot say, well, look at her accomplishments.
No. What has she done? She's failed in every category she's been given, every assignment.
The only border that she's been to is the bookstore.
And now that's out of business.
She knows how to read.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, now they call it Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to a couple of more clips here. You want to go into the world of crazy, or would you rather go Chip Roy? I'll let you, Sean Ferris, I'll let you pick. It's like dealer's choice here. What do you want?
When in doubt, go crazy, baby. Let's go.
All right, let's go crazy. Let's get weird. It's a big boy Thursday. Our president's speaking coming up in just about 8 hours. Boys, let's go to clip number 10. As NBC sent a news crew down to report on a robbery at Lululemon in Washington, D.C., and as the NBC crew was there, another robbery occurred as they were filming. Clip 10, more retail theft in our nation's capital.
We were here looking into the earlier crime when this happened.
The video shows three women, two were wearing surgical masks, grabbing big armfuls of clothing from the Lululemon store on Clarendon Boulevard in Arlington. They appeared to be in no hurry. One woman stopped to pick up items falling out of her overloaded arms. The video was taken at 7:11 p.m. That is only 2 hours after the store had been targeted for an earlier organized theft crime. In that case, two women grabbed armloads of pricey athletic wear and walked out without paying. We're not sure if the same people were involved in both cases.
And of course, as a Lululemon employee, I'm sure it's in the company manual and the employee handbook. Do not attempt to intervene. Do not attempt to detain them and take back the product, or we will fire you. And you might also, because it's in Washington, D.C., end up being charged by the prosecutors. They won't prosecute those who shoplift. They will charge the employees with restraining or assaulting the shoplifter. And by the way, if you want to go as a shoplifter this year for Halloween, you can get the costume, the whole kit. All you need is a COVID mask. It's embarrassing.
It is. It is. The whole robbery thing is, you see these liberal cities devolving into chaos, right? Mm-hmm. There are businesses in Oakland and in every major metropolitan city that are now having to train their employees to deal with robbers, and they're wearing body cams. I mean, they're not cops. They're stocking shelves in a Macy's. They shouldn't have to worry about, robberies and assaults and all of this stuff going on. Coffee shops, people who work in a Starbucks aren't supposed to have their security license, and yet that's what's happening now.
Mm-hmm. All right, one more from the category of crazy, and then we'll wrap up with one more Joe Biden comment. We've got a little bit more of Fetterman from his appearance on Jesse Waters last night. But clip number 11, boys, a man on social media, courtesy of our friends Libs of TikTok on X, has a breakdown over the fact that he was misgendered, and he says it shouldn't be happening because he's wearing a dress and he's got makeup on, and people should know that he is a woman. Clip 11.
Just because I had a bit of a jarring experience here, I went into the bank. I was trying to change my name on my account, which apparently I can't do, because my ex and I still have a joint account, so my ex needs to be present so I can change my name and it reflects on both accounts. Regardless of that, the girl who was doing it had a question, and she calls her coworker over, like, well, he's trying to change his name on his account. And I'm like, she kind of like looks at me a little bit and is like, oh, I'm sorry. And just, like, writes it off. But, like, I'm just like, you read both names. Like, she had both my IDs and my legal name change paperwork in front of her.
Both IDs.
So,
30 million,
you know what my name's
ID
going to. Number two, I look and sound like this. Mm-hmm. I know I'm 6 feet tall, but girl, come on. I'm wearing a dress.
Come on, girl.
I am wearing a dress.
Thank God you got underwear on.
I am wearing makeup. I'm wearing eyeliner and eyeshadow and everything.
Nose rings.
Like,
oh my God.
What do I have to fucking do?
I know.
What do I have to do to, like, just get gendered correctly once while I'm out? Like, right. I know it's happened
just
before.
One time.
But, like, when I'm doing something, like, official like this, it's been so annoying that, like, it's just like, oh, well, he needs this, and his, and him, and blah, blah, blah. Yep. And it's like, are you kidding me?
No.
You use your eyes.
I can't even.
Use
glasses.
Your eyes. This isn't rocket science. Like, it's very clear that if you aren't sure, here's a tip. You aren't sure, ask.
There's a blow pop
ask
there.
Ask what my pronouns are.
Sour apple blow pop, my favorite blow pop personally. So you had everything there. You had the dyed hair, you had the nose ring, you had four lip rings, and it's the banker's fault, right? You know, some banker at Citizens Bank is like, yes, sir, I just need, it's ma'am, hello, I'm a woman, I'm in a dress, and I've got makeup on. I love how triggered they get, Sean, when you don't play along with their little fantasy.
I know what happened here. Remember the story from earlier in the week? There was the one, Zhi Zhao that was wearing the wristbands.
Yes,
he was probably
bracelets.
Not wearing those. That's what it was. This one was not indicating how he, she, they, them, it, Zhi Zhao wanted to be gendered. And so that's what happened. Now, if he, she, they, them, thou, Zhi Zhao decided to wear those bracelets, never would have happened. Yeah. So, you know what? Next time, just wear the bracelets. I wouldn't know what to call that.
Yeah. I was just impressed that he had two voter IDs. I mean, I would just say, hey, Summer Lee told me 30 million Americans can't get one. This cat got two.
Yeah. Like, I would just, refer to that person. Hey, buckaroo. I don't know.
Jennifer Lewis, your thoughts?
I know what mental illness looks like. Gosh.
I have a full mustache and beard.
All right. That'll do it.
Just all I could think of was run. Just a scary, creepy person.
Yeah. If that was like at Citizens Bank and I walked in, I might close up and just go open a Wells Fargo account.
Listen, why do you think people are quitting all these jobs?
I know.
You know what I mean? That's what you have to deal with. And then, God forbid, you say the wrong thing. And now you're getting called into your boss's office. And you have to take some retraining or something.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
All right. We will come back and find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show today and what occurred today in music history as we continue, Kale and Company. But first, let me tell you about my friends with families behind the badge. Bike ride coming up. We are just 10 days away. I just did 10 miles yesterday. Ride number one, the warm-up underway, 93 degrees yesterday. I was sweating. The butt feels good. The wrists feel good. I'm going to bang it out again. And if you want to do it with me, you can. 65 miles from Philly to AC, 30 miles from Hamilton, ben2shore.org. That is the website, ben2shore.org. And when you sign up with the code NICK1210, they'll take $25 off your registration fee. That's ben2shore.org, promo code NICK1210. Let's show everybody how WPHT and Odyssey support law enforcement. Families behind the badge, Children's Foundation provides financial relief for the families of fallen and injured first responders and supports the Police Youth Alliance, which fosters a positive relationship between police and youth.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Dawn Stensland, The Dawn Show, coming up in 10 minutes. We find out what she has lined up for 10 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, so we'll talk a lot about Philadelphia, the Pennsylvania budget. By the way, we still don't have a budget. What is going on with the budget crunch here in Philadelphia? All of the different shootings, what Philadelphia police are now saying about that clerk who was shot and killed during what looks like a robbery. Talk about that. Sherelle Parker in her administration in court. What's going to happen? As she says, she is at war trying to get the city to come back to work and revive Philadelphia. And, of course, we're on the watch. Johnny Dock. How long will he be behind bars? That sentencing. And Gold Bar Bob. So the fate of these powerful men, power brokers, if you will, we may learn it between 10 and noon. We got it all covered live and local.
I'm looking forward to it. Also looking forward to tonight at 5:30 as Joe Biden will have his big boy press conference. Sean, you'll actually be live doing your show on Rumble at that time, correct?
I am, and I got to figure out, because here's what's really going on. It's crazy. Thursday's always crazy day. So I have my show Rumble running from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. I'm also on Newsmax with Carl Higbee at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So I usually have a little mix and match going on where I'll come on live for the first 10 or 15 minutes. Then we'll run a pre-recorded segment for 30 minutes and then come back on after the Newsmax hit. But if Biden's having his big boy press conference, I'm going to have to break into that somehow. So the wheels are turning on how to make it all work, but I promise we will make it all work.
All right. And cool. We will chat, and you will be with us again tomorrow morning. But before we get out of here today, let's find out what occurred today in music history.
Today.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. History on Kale & Company.
Today, July 11th, we celebrate the birthdays of Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi, who's now 65. Suzanne Vega, who's also 65, and heavenly birthday shout-outs to Bonnie Pointer, the Pointer Sisters, and John Lawton of Uriah Heep. We also lost Tommy Ramone on this day in 2014, and Rob Grill from the Grassroots in 2011. Singles include Space Oddity by David Bowie in 69, as well as Honky Tonk Women by the Stones on the same day. Albums include The White Album by Fleetwood Mac in 75, Voodoo Lounge by the Stones in 94, and Sacrifice by Motorhead in 1995. Also in 2002, the funeral for John Entwistle took place. In 87, Heart was atop the singles chart with Alone. In 70, Three Dog Night was atop the singles chart with Mama Told Me Not to Come. But lastly, a couple rock replacement stories took place on this day. In 90, Steven Adler was fired by GNR for drug use. And in 82, Phil Collins replaced Pete Willis and Def Leppard, who was fired for excessive consumption on the job, which is not good. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lundquist.
Ah, nice work out of Ferrari Phil here on this Thursday morning.
Ferrari Phil.
It's Ferrari Phil Lundquist and Henry Machette. I think I got it right. Machette.
Hank.
Spot on. Spot
Hank.
On. Hank. Hammer and Hank. All right, that'll do it for us. Everybody have a great rest of your Thursday. Dawn, good luck tonight at your event.
Thanks.
Sean, good luck with Newsmax and everything you've got going on today. Biden at 5:30. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. And as our favorite senator would say,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.